Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John Daniels. How are you? Hey,
very, very good. Staying warm.
Are you? Is it cold?
31. I was outside. It's, there's no wind or anything, and it's cloud. It's going to be nice today. It'll get up to 40. All good.
Well, that does sound good. Is there fog or anything cool?
No, not today. It looks like it could be kind of clear on our winter solstice was yesterday. Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
Big deal for my client. Oh, man. I mean, they party up big on that day.
Wow.
I don't know why, but it's new agey.
A little new agey.
I guess. It's crazy stuff. Hold on to your seat when you're at the Center for Humans and Nature on that day.
Yeah, it's a big day for us, too. So that's good. I like that. That's good. That all works. Hey, what are you rocking coffee-wise there?
trying to do the best I can with Mentalist. I need a little punch up, PEC all the way.
Performance-enhancing coffee.
Yeah.
Funny.
I like to make that. It happen.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of our best bits. I like that. That's funny. Yeah, I'm doing the same. I'm rocking Mentalist right now. I put a little MCT oil, a little butter in it, and I'm all good. So, yeah, doing the stuff. I don't like the brain octane stuff they sell. It's a little pricey, number one, but number two, it has a, I don't know, I can taste it, and MCT oil has zero taste, but it makes everything you put it in taste better.
Ah, enhancer. Mm, good.
It is an enhancer. And, I even put it on my sushi sometimes.
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It makes it all taste good. And, when I fry something up, I'll put a pat of butter in there and a few squirts of that MCT oil, and boom. And anything that's got fat in it that you don't want to have it freeze, MCT oil. It'll keep it freezing. Yeah. So, anyway, enough of that. Shirt.
Original.
You're wearing the original shirt today. You're getting nostalgic on me here.
Yeah. A little checking the time past,
Yeah, I did the same thing today. This is our 96th episode.
Ah.
Yeah. Very good. We start on January 17th, so we'll have 104 on January 17th.
Wow.
Or 18th or whatever it is. You know how that is. The dates.
Sure.
Year to year. Shirt. I'm wearing the red April 21st.
Event.
Yes, event. Mm. So I'm wearing that today. I had to put a pullover over it, though. It's a little cold, long sleeve.
Yeah, well, I've got my hoodie on so I can zip it open and display it.
In case someone walks into your apartment, right?
Yeah.
That's good. Who knows? That Anya may show up, You're not crushing on her.
Ooh, well.
She might.
No, I.
This happened. It's happened.
Well, I got some presents from Anya. Oh.
Do you need to talk about that?
Well, I got them. I got a shrine. I mean, I got them displayed on my table here. I'll have to give you a picture.
Let's put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's, and of course, a very, 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 very personal Christmas card through the mail.
Oh, really?
Ah.
John.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your shared passion, shipping things through the post office.
Yeah. Well, that's part of my job description. I deliver and I receive.
Ooh, no comment. Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to believe what I got, though. I got a metal straw. A metal straw.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Why? How?
Well, because it's sort of like...
Recycled.
Yeah, because these plastic straws can get caught in the throats of birds and stuff. So this
is
a bird
person.
Yeah. So they're a bird. And I got an Intelligentsia coffee cup.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, my in-laws, my extended family out in Washington D.C. got all of those special mugs that we got them.
Well, I was going to mention mentioned the coffee, but we do need to mention the mug.
The mug is pretty. I tell you, it went over really big in D.C. If that's any indication, it's not Peoria, but it's close. Right?
Yeah. I gave Anya some coal. you know, for...
Oh, you gave her the candy coal?
Yeah, but I did tell her after she gave me this cup, I said, well, we'll flip cups. I'll give you a Brochu cup. And that really excited her.
Yeah. People get excited about that, that's for sure. Okay, so we got the shirts. The holiday shirt will be until midnight, December 31st. Is it 31st or the 31 days in December?
Yeah,
New Year's Eve. I thought so. Yeah, New Year's Eve midnight. That'll be your last chance to buy that celebration holiday T-shirt, and it's we've got good reviews on that. A lot of people like that T-shirt.
I think of all these shirts, that fits it. Yeah, that kind of fits it generally. You know, it isn't a specific event. You could wear it any time. It has a statement, so it's all good.
It is all good. You could wear it any time, but I think just for us to kind of do our own version of celebrating the holidays without offending anybody, which is getting more and more difficult as the days go by, this is like our attempt. Who knows? Right.
Yeah, I'll be wearing that on over the holidays, Christmas. In fact, I got it in my laundry to clean and all that good stuff.
Well, good. American Musical Supply is our sponsor this week, John, and there's a reason, because we have a super duper anchor topic today that revolves around music, and I will say no more.
Okay.
But American Musical Supply is the supplier of musical equipment for the Bro Show.
That's good. That's very good. So we got some personal use here. You've used them.
We almost always do. Yeah. You know, that's the whole thing about our sponsor program. John, I don't feel comfortable calling these faux sponsors or fake sponsors, because that makes me think of somebody else and something else. You know what I'd like to call them, with your permission?
Go for it.
Inadvertent advertisers.
I think they're real.
Inadvertent sponsors. Sponsors, not advertisers. Inadvertent sponsors.
Because, I feel they're the real sponsor, because there's no conflict of interest. We're not getting paid to say this.
I know. But see, from their point of view, just for a second, I'm going to look at it from their point of view instead of ours. From their point of view, it's good, because we don't do anything goofy with this stuff. You know, we actually do a pretty straight sponsor read with a lot of personal experience, right? Because almost everything we do is something we've had or used, right?
Right.
So for them, it still hits. It's still good stuff, but it's inadvertent from their point of view. Not ours. It's on purpose from our point of view. But I'm just thinking, I don't want to say fake or faux. That's my problem. So think about it. See what you think.
I think it's good.
All right. We'll go with it then. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got a lot of follow-up. We got a number. Our number one follow-up item is very important to me. And I was really borderline upset about this until you set me straight. So why don't you help us with this? Walk me through it.
Well, I'll tell you what. About a week ago, actually a week from Friday, a hockey fan, attacked the Blackhawks mascot at the United Center. It was after the game. The fan might have had some beverages, adult type. And so as a result, pushed the Tommy Hawk, which is the name of the Chicago Blackhawk mascot, pushed him a couple times. And finally, Tommy just got a little upset. He just turned around and wailed on him, gave him a body slam, and started punching him. And it's become a big deal for a couple reasons. One is that the Blackhawks have decided business as usual. Tommy, get out there and do your thing. And the other thing is that there's an all-points bulletin out to try to find the fan. The fan's so embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, not only embarrassed, but he knows like we know, that's part of the game, and the audience is part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Big theme in our thing today, too. The audience.
Oh, audience is important.
Very. Got to engage the audience, and I think Tommy was doing his job. I hate to say it, and I'm not a fan of violence, but hockey.
I also think, first thing is, hockey is a very, very active, there's a lot of, like you mentioned, it's a very physical sport, but put that together with the fact that these mascots, you know, they're pretty physically fit.
Well, hockey ones in particular.
Yeah, they are. And so as a result, if a mascot is kind of, you know, looking at you and giving you the dirty look, you better run. You better not try to force the action on a mascot, because I think you're going to end up on the losing end of that battle. So what was interesting about this is that I was concerned that Tommy was going to maybe lose his job or this or that. And it looks like he's fine. And I think it's going to be a continuing story to some extent, but it's really kind of played down. But really got me going on this was, just as a follow-up, we've been working the mascot road for some time now in terms of a couple of things. One, my interest in mascots, I'll call it interest because it's fairly mild.
Sure, as long as you wear sunglasses.
Yeah, and if I kind of sometimes I like to kind of stoop down a little bit lower because I look kind of out of place in the line with the kids as I try to get my picture with one of them.
Yeah,
but the thing is that I then found out through one of the honorary bros, Jason Otto, that there was a mascot museum in Whiting, Indiana, and I went down there and took a look at it. We've had a couple of shows on it. We've had a couple of follow-ups. And here's the amazing thing. The first four inductees in 2017/18 to the Mascot Hall of Fame in Whiting, Indiana, included Tommy Hawk. So I thought, my God, how's this going to play out? And a good old Al Spager down at Whiting, I couldn't get a hold of him, but it was very interesting. Apparently, I've got a little pull with Al. I spent a long week afternoon talking to him about the museum. So I didn't even leave a message, but he saw that I called him, and within 2 minutes, Al was back on the phone with me. I felt very, very good about that. The timing for all this is really great because what's happened is that they are actually, Al told me, he says, we're going to open up right after Christmas in December. That's what he told me like 2 months ago. And sure enough, December 26th, the day after Christmas, the Mascot Museum will officially open. Now, they've had a soft opening for media and teachers because a big component of their audience that's going to come in there is going to be kids from school. So they want to display the educational aspects of the museum. There's going to be a lot of things that you can do, interactive things, games. There's going to be a big thing about physical fitness. So
man, it sounded good.
Blood pressure checked, weight, all kinds of, that kind of stuff too.
Cool.
So, and it's set up so there could be a fairly big event there. So, I mean, if you decide you're going to have a banquet dinner and you're going to have like 250 people, they're there to accommodate you at the museum. So it's all started now. It's real. The bricks and mortar are in place and done. I went down there and saw it while the external was all done, a couple months ago, and now they're ready. Yeah. They're ready to rock. So
well, now they're going to induct Tommy then.
Well, the thing is that Tommy actually is officially in.
Oh, he's already in.
He's already in. In other words, they did the vote. The way the process works is they use an online voting to come up with the final list of maybe a dozen candidates, and then they have the board of directors actually votes, and so there's kind of a screening process, quality control, whatever. My concern about this was, so he was in, so, and once you're in, it's kind of hard to, there's a couple things going on here. Number one, I've never heard of anybody in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They've been excluded. Pete Rose can't get in the hall, but there's nobody who's gotten in the hall and all of a sudden said, oh, by the way, you're out.
So can't do that.
They don't do that typically. The other thing is that when we take a look at mascots, there's the mascot and then there's the person that's playing the mascot, and there's no reason that person can't interchange. So, Tommy Hawk would continue to work. The worst thing that could happen, which I don't think will, is the person who was doing the, was actually in the outfit there would get fired, but he didn't either. Mascots are kind of strange. I mean, they don't want you to know anything about them personally. I mean, the worst fear of a mascot is that you're going to see him while he's in partial uniform or he's out of uniform. I've done enough stadium tours to know as we go through like a stadium and all of a sudden somebody, the person who's doing it in the locker room or something, to stop. I have to look in the corner to make sure the mascot isn't there.
Security.
It's a big, big, big deal. In fact, I was looking at some of the way mascots interact, And I saw one where the hockey ones are you know about the physical nature of the sport itself. Well, quite often a visiting mascot will come, and then they'll interact with each other. And I saw one where a mascot got tackled, and his head came off. And I'll tell you, he was scrambling to make sure that head got back on as fast as possible.
Wow. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: in the Mascot Hall of Fame, and their educational program, I think that they should be teaching these kids how to do body slams.
Well, you know, I don't see why not.
Is that in there?
I personally think that it's important for these kids to know not only to do the slam, but it's important
but to take one.
But to take a slam.
Yeah, or possibly a punch.
Yeah.
Depending upon their home life, that may be already happening. But, you know, what the hell? We got through it.
Yeah, we sure did. And yeah. I mean, and the main thing is our little brother got through it too. He's the one who was the victim. You remember we tried every wrestling hole we could on him.
We did. He did. You know, he could take an iron claw to the head really well.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with that. Although, he wanted me to give him a dollar afterwards.
Yeah, he had whined and tried to squeeze money. Well, I'm gonna cry to mom. Yeah.
Well, I never paid up.
No,
but I got in a lot of trouble as a result. But that's another story for another day.
So one other thing I wanted to mention is that the NHL mascot community is very, very, they're close. Like most of these mascots. I mean, MLB does. B had a convention the other soon after the season, where a bunch of them got together. But the thing about this one is that the NHL mascots, the National Hockey League mascots, have kind of upped their game with their most recent mascot. And their most recent mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers is a mascot called Gritty. And this guy, his hair is like red. And it is just looks like it's going to, like, flaming red.
Looked a little more orange to me.
Yeah, I don't know what you want to call it, but it is. He's a scary stuff. He's scary stuff. And so he got a lot of publicity when he came out because he was just so weird looking. So I wanted to mention him. But, you know, in baseball, there's a couple of teams that don't have mascots. When it comes to NHL, there's only one team that doesn't have a mascot, the New York Rangers, one of the original six. And but the rest of them do. And I have a personal interest in one team, and that's the Montreal Canadiens, with respect to their mascot. They're the most benevolent hockey team because what they did is they adopted a mascot orphan.
That is so sweet.
It's like, you know,
Montreal, that is so nice.
It is
so nice.
You know, it's really good when you can report these feel good stories, and this is one of them.
Christmas. It's Christmas, kind of.
So, sure enough, there was a mascot for the Montreal Expos that back about 10 years ago moved to Washington. The Expos did. And they had a mascot, and their mascot's name, it's French. And it's Youppi, which Yippee is like hooray.
So, yeah. Good name.
Yeah. And so as a result, he has found a new home. Now, this isn't recent news, but I think it's just the kind of stuff we like to report, you know, balance a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Some
we
good
have
stuff
to,
here.
Yeah. We have to follow up, too. We can't ignore that. Speaking of follow up, I've been working on, you know, you gave me the three E's last week.
Yeah. How's that going?
Well, I've had some progress with it, actually. Initially, you know, the three E's, in case people have forgotten, erase, embrace, and embellish. Okay, so you erase all the bad memories, you embrace all the good memories, and then you embellish the good memories ever so slightly. It's more like enhance than embellish, actually.
I agree with that.
You just accentuate the positive. I had what I thought was a problem, but it turned out it's not a problem. My problem is this, John. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm incapable of moderation. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, that might run in the family, actually.
Yeah, well, such as it is. So my problem was I couldn't figure out what was a good memory and what was a bad memory. There's a lot of gray area there. So I just decided to be more efficient, I would just erase all memories. And that way I wouldn't have to embrace or embellish. So I got the E's down to one E, I'm afraid.
Good for you. I'm all for efficiency, another E.
Well, yeah, that is another E, isn't it? So I could just say I'm efficient. Yep. I forget everything. So, and I can't be accused of being forgetful or getting old or anything. I'll just say, I'm on a special program my brother put me on. Oh, excuse me, you are my brother, right? I almost forgot.
Yes, Mr. Producer.
Okay. Thank you, star of the show. So that's it. I'm down to one E.
Good for you. Well, keep working on it. It sounds to me like you've made a lot of progress. So I'm proud of you as a bro.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, sure. Go ahead. You got it. You're going to go Hallmark on us now.
Yeah, well, we always got to – this is that time of year with Hallmark. Hallmark's schedule, I mean, they start their Christmas movies like in November. And this year, Hallmark came out with 37 different new Hallmark Christmas movies. So this is – now we're going to get the old Christmas crunch, because what's going to happen is that Hallmark is going to – during Christmas, starting on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m., they are going to do commercial-free 20 of their new holiday movies. So that means that 20, and it's kind of interesting because you look at the schedule and now you can figure out how many commercials, how much time is commercials? Well, the movies are 2-hour slots. Now the movies are an hour and a half. I did a little arithmetic and guess what I figured out?
What?
There's a half hour worth of commercials.
They're not really commercials though, are they? Aren't they Hallmark things more or less?
You know, a lot of them are. I mean, they do a lot of synergy with respect to their own product. But, I mean, to show you how extreme, because this whole thing with Christmas movies has really gotten hot. I mean,
everywhere.
You take a look, yeah. So it's not only, it's like Lifetime has got their own movies. And I think they've got about a dozen new ones. But
Netflix did their own too.
Netflix. I ran into an article because decided to look at the Christmas movie industry, figures out that there's probably 70 new movies through all the different stations out there, TV stations. We're not talking like theater movies. We're talking, you know, TV movies. The other thing I found out is that when it comes to the central Christmas movie central, it's like Vancouver. Canada is really big on a place to land and make these movies because they give these movie companies nice tax credits. Vancouver is a, you know, in Vancouver, they can do the skylines, they can do the urban, they can a couple, you know, they can take a little bit further out, they can move into getting all the Christmas nature scenes, the whole bit. So, and there's a lot of Canadian actors and actresses that are get their career started through this. So I just wanted to comment that if you want to get a real good fix on it, start Christmas Eve. Now, there are two stations. This is the regular station.
Oh.
Now, we have the Movie and Mysteries station, which
is the premium one.
Yeah, some cable companies are. Mine, fortunately, has it. But here's the deal. Theirs is not commercial free, except for one segment of time. And there's about a 6 hour, 7 hours on Christmas Day. If you want to be mesmerized, you can watch the Christmas Yule Log. Unfortunately, I have a lot of exposure to that, particularly when my wonderful wife would like to. She put that on. She figured, let's get the Christmas spirit here. So let's put the Yule Log on, and then put some music on, and that's all.
It went
a
little farther, than that.
Yeah,
though.
She did. We didn't have a fireplace, so as a result, she contrived or made up this cardboard fireplace.
That didn't catch
put
it
around
fire,
the
did
TV, and it was fire resistant, by the way. Cardboard. She's very safety minded.
Very. Oh, that cracks me up. I love that. Well, I have to confess that there have been some Christmas seasons when they first put Yule Logs on the internet, I would tune into one and just put a spare computer by my my recliner, and right?
Yeah.
And I just have that thing roaring there, and every once in a while I just glance over at it and feel all warm and cozy. So I'm with Marge on this.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, I do not, Hallmark, by the way, you're talking about ads. I've actually seen the Lifetime Christmas movies advertised, have an ad on Hallmark.
That is quite benevolent.
Well, it's benevolence. It's also Hallmark is strutting their stuff and saying, look, we're not afraid of our competition. We'll take your money. That's the way I look at it. We'll take the money for the ad.
Because we are
our Christmas movie. I'll tell you right now, I saw three excellent, incredibly good Hallmark movies. And, you know, I'm just getting off of last week. Of course, I had my Hallmark Christmas company Christmas party where we watched Hallmark movies. So it's That's a big right. deal. I thought that our company was a little bit odd, but I read on the internet, saw where this is. You know, that's not a one-off. We're not unique. There are a fair number of parties surrounding, you know, that have in the background. That's the other thing good about these movies. And you can put on the last half hour. You're right there. You haven't missed much. Yeah, it's like a soap opera in a way. The other thing I quite often will do is I'll start a Hallmark movie. I will then go do grocery shopping, come back, and I'm right there. I mean, I'm in it. I'm right there. So,
you know, there's something to be said for that. It's so dependable.
Yes, it is.
And when there is an anomalous thing going on in a Hallmark movie, it's special.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go, whoa, the kiss scene took place too early.
Oh, yeah, the 30-minute critical moment.
Well, or that's the meltdown moment.
Yeah, the meltdown moment. I like that.
Now, where would that be in the hour and a half? It would
that's
probably
interesting.
Be a little...
Yeah,
hour and 10 minutes.
I would
like
say
that.
We're talking,
hour 10.
Exactly, 20 minutes. I think we're talking 20 minutes. You know,
we are.
Hour and 10. Good, 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 good.
Yeah. So would you do me a favor and do a little R&D on that for us and report back?
I think that's
true.
That's worthy. And I'll, you know, I'm going to have to try it out a couple of times, which means I might have, you know, there's 20 movies on. I might have to watch half of them again. You know, because these
I think you do.
See, these are all new. In fact, on Christmas Day, there will be one premiere, new movie coming up. They've kind of staggered them so that they come through. But it'll all be good. I look forward to doing some follow-up research on Hallmark.
Well, that's all very good. Nice. Now, there's Christmas songs. We you know, while we're talking about Hallmark here, it reminded me when we were putting together the show notes for this today that there are some interesting things going on with Christmas songs this year that I had not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the Green Day site. I got, actually, YouTube prompted me because YouTube knows, the algorithm knows that I watch a fair amount of YouTube clips that involve Green Day or affiliated bands.
Mm-hmm.
So they led me to a Green Day Christmas playlist.
Sweet.
I know. I'd never seen that before. And the lead song on there is their Christmas song, which Billy Joe wrote, I don't know how long ago, not very long ago, really. I think it's a couple years. It's a fairly decent song. It's a very Green Day, Who-sounding mm-hmm. kind of thing. Oddly, there's no drums in it. Maybe they couldn't get Trey Cool to play drums that year. I don't know. Yeah, a little different. It's just guitars and bass and harmony, not some good singing. And the one thing that caught my ear was... Billy in his lyrics talks about the manger, and he frames it in a little different way. I always kind of, I'm interested to see how different people look at these old traditions and stuff like that. And he kind of made the lyric revolve around this manger scene in a different kind of way. You know, no room in the inn kind
mm-hmm.
of a thing.
Yeah.
Like he did sort of a 1% sort of thing with it and said, you know, that's the spirit of Christmas is that you take people in when they don't have a place to stay. And that it's always the poor people who are the most generous. And he's right. You know, he's right. Everybody else is too worried about their money. And so, you know, they give the most financially. In all the charities, you'll find out that the biggest donors are really, you know, per person. If you do your, like, break it down, how much per person are these people donating? Someone may donate, like, $500,000. But there's so many people that donate $20 that don't even have $20. Right?
Yeah.
I've seen that personally. I've worked, and you've worked for nonprofits too. People who really get behind a cause give more than they really can. They'll skip a meal or do whatever they have to do so that they can support a candidate they believe in or a cause they believe in. Or like when, you know, Standing Rock, they did the thing with the pipeline and all that stuff. Yeah. People gave money. You know, that was the last thing our son Joe gave anything to. He was really into it. And I heard a thing just the other day that this Cortez woman, who Ocasio-Cortez, mm-hmm. who just got elected. That was her political awakening. She went to Standing Rock, and that's how she got involved in politics. She wasn't before that. Wow. She had a job that involved politics and also bartending, which makes her an interesting character. But she said she couldn't stand by anymore and just watch when she saw Standing Rock. And then on the heels of that, we had the disaster in Puerto Rico, which is still a disaster. Yeah. So she just said, that's it, you know. Yeah, they have fungus in their water. Still.
Ooh.
I know. A lot of this stuff is hard to watch at Christmas time. You know, a buddy of mine gave me a link to watch the other day, WT. And, Mark wanted me to watch this thing with the Yes Men, these movies by the Yes Men.
Yeah.
Which are all kind of stunts. They're kind of like Borat-level corporate espionage almost. They're really amazing, but I couldn't finish it. It was too depressing, you know?
There's a lot of depression stuff going on.
Yeah, I am sensitive to it. I'm prone to that. So anyway, I really like my Green Day. But the rest of the songs, more or less, are not Christmas songs per se. A couple might be. But mostly, they're just good Green Day songs, and they even cleaned up the lyrics in a couple of them, so people could play them in their Christmas list without being offended. And one of them I watched, what they'll do is it's the regular song, and they show clips of them throughout the years playing the song, and as they age and change, and it's pretty neat the way they did it. And I noticed, you know, Green Day can have some pretty rough concerts, and they can cover some pretty tough topics and get everybody all riled up and stuff in themselves. But these were all pictures where the band members were happy and showing affection toward one another and the audience, and it was perfect. So I see why this is a Christmas list. It's not just because of the lyrics. It's because of the way they handled the video and the integration of the sound. So I was pretty impressed.
Wow. That's pretty good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear Green Day's, you know, doing their thing when it comes to
they're big on holiday stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. You were talking about lyrics there. That's become a controversy this year in terms of Christmas songs.
You were telling me about this. This is surprising.
This is really weird. And I'll tell you, it's got a happy ending, actually. Baby, It's Cold Outside is a Christmas song. It's one of those where you've got, usually it's a female singer and a male singer, and they go back and forth with lyrics. And the storyline is basically that it's at the end of a date or something like this, or maybe a party, and the woman is getting ready to go, and the man says, "Baby, it's cold outside," and then she says, "Yeah, but I've got to get going. I got to get home." And then he's constantly trying to talk her into staying, and you know, even in the day, this is a Christmas song. It goes back to 1944, so these lyrics were considered pretty innocuous. And but all of a sudden, there's a big deal, and it's all based upon one little sentence that's in there. And that sentence has to do with the drink that is. And here is the actual lyric. It says, starts, "The neighbors might think, baby, it's bad out there." And then she says, "Say, what's in this drink? No cabs to be had out there." It's all about this sticking something in a woman's drink, sort of like the date rape.
Wow!
That one little phrase in this caused a lot of controversy, because the Me Too movement, not necessarily the movement itself, but, you know, the women behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's certain. So all of a sudden, what we've got is we've got some radio stations that have actually banned it. Now, what I found kind of interesting was this all started like in a Cleveland station back on November 30th. They announced they were going to remove the song based upon the listener's input, and they decided not to. But we've actually had some stations that have done, what they've done is they've done a little survey of their listeners, and most of them say, put the damn song back on, you know? Mm-hmm. So it isn't really that bad. But what I found, the best part of all of this, though, is it's got a happy ending. Because guess what song is on Billboard's top 10 with digital loads?
Baby, this song.
This song. 70% increase in downloads.
Because of the controversy.
Because of the controversy.
Wow.
You begin to think, I wonder who planted this whole thing.
This sounds like you are genius PR. You are viciously suspicious, just like you said. You are. You're an auditor.
But I'll tell you, one of the things, and I you know, I'm a little nostalgic. I'm a kind of a 1940s, 50s guy. And when I found out, this song was written by Frank Lesser, who is better known for, like, Guys and Dolls, the Broadway play, and a few other things like that. But what he did was, him and his wife, they're going to have a housewarming party. So they said, and back in the day, back in the 40s, if you had a piano and you gave a party, if you were a Hollywood type and you were talented, you were expected to sing. So if you invited Judy Garland and she accepted to your house for a party, Judy would probably sing.
A long time, probably.
Yeah.
She was up, so to speak.
Yeah, she was very excitable. She was ready to belt it out. So what they decided to do, they decided to come up with their song for their party. And this song was so cute and likable that, as a result, Frank Lesser and his wife Lynn got invited to all the parties, so that because everybody wanted them to sing the song. And the other thing that's interesting is, because it has an inkling of leaving, it was usually they were the last song that was sung. Their song was.
Because so he could dose his wife and take advantage of her.
Now, so, well, yeah, I guess so. You're one of those listeners, aren't you? I guess I am. But they actually was a way to get people to get their butts out of the go home.
That was the signal.
Yeah, it's like, good night, Irene, yeah, and all this, except they had this. So,
hello, Roofie.
Yeah.
We should laugh about this. It's a terrible thing, actually.
It is. But
I
I'll
see
tell
why
you,
people
right,
are concerned. I see why people are concerned.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, I read where Saturday Night Live did this a couple of years ago, took this song, and they had a Bill Cosby look-alike thing.
Oh,
bad. I mean, you talk about taking comedy. You know, here we're complaining about a lyric that was the original song. And this song is an Academy-winning song in 1949. It almost caused the breakup of their marriage, because the wife, she felt this was their song. And when the husband, Frank Lesser, sold it to be in a movie called Neptune's Daughter, had nothing to do with Christmas, the wife went ballistic, and she felt that this was worse than adultery. I mean, you basically have violated by taking this song and selling it. Of course, it became an Academy-winning song. There were 7 versions of it that came out, of which half of them made the top Billboard Top 100. And since then, there's been over 50 different versions coming out. So it's a very popular song. But I'm kind of the guy who takes a look at this and said, you know what? You could probably take a look at some of these other Christmas songs and find things that are politically incorrect about them. Don't you think?
Yes.
And so I decided to kind of do a little investigating. Now, let's take a look. Everybody's heard of the song, I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus. This is a problem. This is a display of adulterous behavior in front of children.
Yeah, and they're wondering, what about Dad?
Yeah, what about Dad? I mean, this is sending such a bad, bad message.
Well, she ploys him with cookies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say who the bad guy is.
Can you say no after a chocolate chip cookie, John? Could you?
I don't know. I mean, the appetite.
That would test you.
And that voracious appetite from all that activity of moving from house rooftop to rooftop.
Hey,
come on.
Look, it's known. Time travel is a high caloric activity. Mm. And to get all those houses in that period of time, there is some woo going on there with Santa, and that consumes calories.
You know, the other thing is that Santa doesn't come out clean in a lot of these songs. Like, Santa Claus is coming to town, sees you while you're sleeping, knows when you are awake. That's Santa the Stalker.
Oh, funny you should say that. Funny you should say that.
You could be a little more subtle, you know, in terms of sneaking into bedrooms and looking at people sleeping. Come on.
And how does he? I'd like to know his criteria for naughty or nice.
You know, that's
not a big question on my mind.
Well, I've been thought.
We know why.
I'm going to have trouble. Naughty or nice? Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Oh man.
A lot of gray. A lot of gray, John.
There is, but I'll tell you what. When it comes to my wonderful wife, she had when I come in, during Christmas, she had a sign. One side said naughty, and one side a sign said nice. So as soon as I walked in the door, I knew where I stood. I knew exactly.
Naughty.
Yeah, too much naughty, I'm afraid. Yeah, Even at Christmas time.
I would love to have the stats on that.
Yeah, well, she gave one of those signs to her sister, too.
Did her sister use it?
Not as much as Marge. Well, maybe she had a reason. Maybe Marge had a reason. Let's not go in
there. Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to finish up with one more song that bothers me a little bit. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
God, man. You are so picky.
Go ahead. It's all about bullying. Those reindeers in fact, when you take a look at it, why did they embrace Rudolph? Because of this physical anomaly he had. All of a sudden, they took a look and said, well, we can use this reindeer. When basically before that, what are they doing? They're picking on him.
But they get in a jam. What happens?
Yeah. Finally, when they need him, you know, that's the only thing that brings them there. Is there any mutual respect here? I don't think so.
I want to have trouble listening to much Christmas music this year, thanks to you. Well, it's almost over. That's the good news. So I don't have to worry about it too much longer. Yeah, it's going to be done before we know it. We're going to be doing New Year's.
The thing is, I think we have a happy ending here. Baby, It's Cold Outside is, I think, most radio stations are playing. It's become the Christmas song of the season this year, without a doubt.
Well, it's tempting to get into discussion about this because I think it is a serious topic, actually. We're fooling around.
I almost said fuck there.
I'm sorry. But, it's actually serious. Where do you draw this line? We've talked about this before. But here's yet another example. And people voted with their downloads, didn't they?
The downloads with the surveys that the radio stations did.
Does that mean that there's too many pigs in the country? Or does that mean that people have gone too far with this whole thing? It's hard to say.
You know, the thing is that political correctness is just, you're just like in a minefield when you walk outside or you're talking to certain people. I mean, my client is a classic example.
Tell me about it. I got called a misogynist.
Yeah. And
I don't even have the equipment for it. Really?
Yeah.
I decided to take a nap after that.
Yeah.
Good place to take a nap.
Oh, you're going to feel good. Guess what I did yesterday? I took a nap at the office.
There you go.
My boss insisted I do it. She took a look at me and said, Brooke said to me, she looked at me and says, are you feeling okay? And I said, well, to be perfectly honest, my digestive tract is a little out of whack. And she says, you need to lay down and take a nap. And sure enough, I took a nap. Not that long, 15, 20 minutes. I got up and I was as good as gold.
Well, you know, there's the thing. You know, we both kind of poke fun at that place because of their strange work habits. Mm-hmm. Strange to us, but not strange to them. And here's a prime example. Yep. You were the beneficiary of that policy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way they
so was
they,
I.
They roll. They do a great job. And
hats off.
Yes.
Tip of the hat, whatever. Yeah, our big topic. You ready for the big topic?
Rock it. Rockin'. I'm ready to rock.
I have to do this we're at 44 minutes in 15 seconds, not counting the intros and the outros. So I figure, John, I've got about 7 or 8 minutes to do this if we're going to do it right and do good groaners.
Okay.
And we got some good groaners.
We got some groaners. Do we have groaners?
Yeah. Okay, and a sponsor read. So I got to get with it. Here we go. All right, there's a thing called the Rockin' 1000. I ran into this through my lovely wife, Mary Jane. She said, you guys should see this. You might want to talk about it on the show. See how helpful that was?
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? The Rockin' 1000. This is kind of a neat premise. And it just shows you where things can go with passion. Mm-hmm. So this fellow, his name is Fabio Zaffanini. And he's an Italian fellow. And he really likes the Foo Fighters. And his hometown is Cesena, Italy. It's a smaller town. It's not a big town, and it's not on the Foo Fighter tour. So what he did was he said, I'm going to make the best invitation possible for the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl, who's the front man, where you can't resist and they will come and see us. So you know what he did, John? He put together 1,000 musicians, rock musicians, you know, 300 vocalists, you know, 200 drummers, 150 bass players, you know, 300 guitar players, 100 singers, and got a real big time conductor and composer to lead the effort. And then he stepped back and just was the general manager, and he let everybody else get out front, and they did it. It takes a whole stadium, the grounds of the stadium, like a football field, a soccer field, in order to house this band. And I have to tell you, this is one of the more impressive things I've ever seen. What they did was they laid this thing out in kind of a grid. They had, for you, it would be like a spreadsheet, John, with cells.
Yeah.
And they had a group of cells for the drummers, another one for the guitar players, another for the bass. And up high, on top of about a 20-foot platform, was the conductor. Mm-hmm. And they had lights on him. And then about 10 feet below him was a guy who his only job was volume control. And he had headphones on, and he could hear the final mix as it came through the mixing board of recording these guys. And he would direct the different sections to amp it up or pull it down or speed it up and that kind of stuff. And then you had the total conductor on top. So this is like a breakthrough in how to lead an orchestra, really, if you think about it. Did you know the cables alone, they had miles of cable. They had to raise $50,000 through crowdfunding to put this on, only to record one Foo Fighters song. That was it.
Wow.
One Foo Fighters song. At the end of the Foo Fighters song, Fabio gets up on the mic, looks right at the camera, because this is all video, and says, "Dave, Foo Fighters, we need you to come to Chesena. And, we love you. We want you here. This is from our heart." And so Dave Grohl was told by so many people, "Hey, have you seen that video? Have you seen that video?" Finally, he saw the video. He was crying as he's watching it. He couldn't believe it. And then he recorded in Italian, pretty damn good Italian, too. I didn't know he spoke. His acceptance. And he said, "I will be there, I promise." And a year later, he was there.
Amazing.
With the Foo Fighters. And they not only heard the band, but then they got up. The Foo Fighters got up and played 27 songs for the band.
Oh,
isn't that the coolest thing ever?
It's incredible. I'll tell you, I went back and took a look at this website, and I know the logistics to me in itself is a mind-blowing story. I mean, try to pull this thing off with 1,000 musicians, with the technical, I mean, you would need so many roadies in order to make this work, the people involved. But then I decided I'm going to listen to it. And the sound is, it's not only quality, but it's a unique thing because you've got 1,000 people.
So I've been told, the story though, the thing is, it's great video and great listening. But if you're there, what people say is it's 100 times more powerful than watching the video because you feel every note in your whole body.
Wow.
I know, right?
So,
singing too.
So the October.
I interrupted you.
So the 2016. Yeah. So the 2016 event, because I know there's been a series of things to make this whole thing work. That is the big one that took place. How many? They did more than one song, didn't they? They did a series of songs, or did they do like
over
a concert?
20 songs. They did over 20 songs. They did a full concert.
Well, I'm not talking about the Foo Fighters. I mean about the.
No, I'm talking about.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's what I figured. I just wanted to make sure that's clear. This is not a one-off. This isn't getting up there and singing one song. Okay, guys, good job and leaving. No, they did a full concert.
Yeah, they did. They sure did. No, this is a marvelous thing, and we've got links all over the place that you can follow to understand, where it took place the first time. Some stuff about the Foo Fighters. I've got a link to Dave's a video where he. Accepts and everything. It was very heartwarming. You could tell he had tears in his eyes. He was real serious about this stuff, and it is moving. I mean, and they played one of his original compositions, to invite him, and so it's really pretty cool. And I got to thinking about this. We're not about whining. We're about solutions. Well, I'm a little bit about whining, but we're mostly about solutions. And I thought about, well, what's the after effect of all this stuff? Could this, because the tendency is go, whoa, 90 countries. Their big concert they did, they had representatives from 90 countries, including ones with conflicts. Iran, Russia, all those European countries that you would expect, some from the U.S. They had everybody, all kinds of people there, all different religions, all different colors, all different political persuasions. Mm-hmm. But the 3-day event, because it was the 3-day event. You know, they've got to rehearse, because right. these people have all auditioned online.
This is quality. There's very, you know, this is quantity, but there's no sacrificing quality when it comes to the end product.
And you saw the light show they have along yeah. with it, where they light up the different sections of the band. And I think this unique conducting situation with the two conductors really makes a huge difference. And I noticed that, like, they have gurus for each section. They call them gurus, a drum guru, a guitar guru, all this stuff. And these guys are specially, you know, in-ear monitored so that they can get instructions from from the conductor down low, the one that you don't see, really. Only the musicians see him. And I think it's just so cool. The unique way they do this, I really thought about it a lot as a musician and thought through all the problems that could occur. And then I watched the video, listened to what they say, read as much as I could. And these guys thought of everything. It took a whole year to put together that second concert. It took a whole year to get the first one, just the one song concert. And then they took a whole another year to do the second one. And they were working. That's Fabio's life. Mm. I mean, that's what he does now. And they have another concert coming
hey,
up.
Hey, yeah, when's this band coming to my town?
John, it's whether you've been naughty or nice, I believe.
That's right. Okay, I'll have to wait till another
good,
year.
Yeah, good quote, though. Here's and I put a link, and it shows you to scrub to the 5-minute, 25-second mark for Fabio's speech he gave at the end of the second concert. And he said, with passion, dedication, and fucking hard work, quote, we can transform our lives. So stick together, no more conflicts, and play rock and roll.
Yeah. The thing is that their next event, though, I read about that, and I thought, this is going to be, you hate to say it's going to be better, because the first one's so good. But in terms of its impact, I just think, because it's going to be just outside of Paris, so it's going to be more of a center, a big city, an international city. In addition to that, how about the venue? Did you see how big that venue is?
It's huge.
It's massive. It's 80,000 is how much many can hold. I think the one they did, I think they had 15,000 is what the venue held at the one in Italy. So
this is a big step up.
It's a big step up. And so I'm really looking forward to it. And how about a date? They do have a date already picked that they're going to do it. They're working hard.
I don't have the exact date.
I think it's in June. It's the latter part of June of 2019, yes.
Yeah.
So we're talking 6 months here.
Well, here's the important thing about this. I think the location that you just cited is important, not just for its capacity, but for its locus, because it is close to Paris. And Paris is a very fragile little city when it comes to politics these days. And it's going to get worse because we're pulling out of Syria. And the United States is. And that's just going to invite ISIS back. And then once ISIS gets strong again, they're going to start doing their bullshit in Paris. And
Paris is a hotbed. It's a hotbed. I mean, it just seems like it's a place that happens. Yeah, it's easy.
It's easy. Yeah. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. If you've got the force of 80,000 people, you know, I just think that might give Paris a different kind of backbone that would show some kind of like, you know, a patient's a little weak. And they're susceptible to infection. That's kind of how I feel sometimes about some of these cities. They just historically have a weakness for infiltration. It's because they're open sometimes. And, you know, they have a society that accepts maybe too much, who knows. But I don't think that this is going to make people militant. I think it's going to make them strong in their best qualities. And that may be enough to make it hard for the bad guys to do anything. You know, bad guys do things when good people don't do anything.
Yeah, well, part of the problem with bad guys, I've always said, you know, well, what you do is if something happens, well, then what you do is you then react by saying, well, we're going to stop that. We're all ready for that. But the problem is evil minds, you can't think like.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right. It is.
They're always going to be a step ahead of you because their mind is so distorted.
But you'll never get that down unless you become some kind of a spooky profiler. But what you can do is you can take your own best qualities and amp those up.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
positivity. Light is the only way to dispel darkness. You can't take the darkness away.
Hey, look, and I think right now we're talking about a Christmas holiday season that's got a lot of darkness out there. in so many ways. And I think when we take a look at it, all we can say is that when we're done with all this, there will be a resolve that will make us stronger. And, you know, it's just sort of like getting a resistant to a disease. You build up resistance. Antibodies, exactly. So,
Thumbs up, John. Sponsor Read Time.
Hey.
Musical Supply. Good company. These guys are four musicians. Their whole program, they have great stock. They have a lot of good equipment. They know what equipment to do. This is musicians. A lot of the people who work there are musicians themselves. Or were, you know, old. They're older. Maybe they don't play as much as they used to, but they know the field. They know the equipment. They know what you need. And they have great selections. I've spent hours on this site finding stuff, discovering stuff, learning stuff. They have a lot of tapes from the manufacturers of equipment showing how to play it, how to use it.
Nice.
You know, we've bought three different pedals from American Music, and they have a great program. Zero interest. They'll let you pay it out over a number of months. At least three.
Yeah.
This season, John, this season they had a two-week special, and it's going to run out at midnight on New Year's Eve. The special is 18 months for certain items. In other words, they're not going to let you pay for something over 18 months if it costs $50. But if you're buying a new Marshall amp and it costs over $1,000, they will let you pay it out over 18 months without any interest. They have a one-time charge that they put in order to process it.
Yeah.
But that's it. And so that's the kind of business that you like to see, people who really understand their audience and what they need. And the real need of a musician is they don't have a lot of cash, but they do have revenue. Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
Right.
Give them terms, right?
Exactly. I kind of look, I don't know much about music, but I'm kind of a bargain hunter myself. So I saw they had a thing called Outlet. So I took a look at that, and you could actually buy some bruised equipment, slightly bruised equipment for really good prices. Exactly. It might have a smudge here, you know, a little scrape there. You get yourself a pretty nice guitar that's well known for a good price.
Yeah. And, you know, the real big thing that people, guitars, okay, you'll pay a few hundred dollars for a guitar. You can pay a lot of money for a good amp.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money. So the bruised amps, I mean, most amps are solid state.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot that can go wrong with them. So that, but it's like a car. Once you drive it out a lot, the price goes down by 50%. And that's true of amps, too. You know, they're going to smell like a bar. You know, right?
And there might be a scrape on the side or maybe a little blue smudge.
Or some vomit or some blood. But hey, great price. Right?
Oh, boy.
Oh. Time for a groaner, John. We got 2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes. Okay. You know, I've got two I kind of like. I like one of them really, really well because I knew the answer. But look at that. Here's the first one. This is the Chicago one. Why do people want to get buried in Chicago? Why do people want to get buried in Chicago?
I have no idea.
So they can remain active politically.
Oh, that one's got teeth.
Arr, got a big chew on that one. Now, here's one in the Christmas spirit, in the holiday spirit, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
What do you get if you deep fry Santa? What do you get if you deep fry Santa?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Oh. Crisp Kringle.
Ooh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'd say you're two for two today.
Yeah, we kind of hit one with, you have to kind of, the brain has to think a little bit, and then I finish it up with the old holiday. Yeah, I felt real good. You know what? I got the second one, and I'm going to have to give Hallmark credit for that because I was watching, I was thinking on my 10th hour of movies when the coach, who is one, we need to give him credit for these, don't we? We really do.
I think we do. Vincent Anthony Lauder
Jr. The coach. He is the one who just, he loves these. He loves to tell them to people, not so much for the actual joke, but to look at the people and the way they wince, they grimace. They just seem so not offended, but just kind of, oh, you know, they just shake their head. He loves to get that reaction. So he's just full of this stuff.
He is, and he's not a sadist, just for the record.
Hey, I enjoy him. I give him full credit. Every time he does one,
of course you do.
I don't want him to stop. So I let him know that we are going to give him credit for it. I applaud. I always give him a positive reply when he emails me these wonderful groaners. So,
and since I can remember his name, I actually give him credit for it.
Yeah, sometimes the coffee doesn't quite work or it wears off. I don't know.
By the wears time off,
we get the show, at the end of the
60,
show.
60 minutes, 54 seconds. That's where we are, buddy.
All good.
All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.